Well, listen, let me jump over here to my opening monologue, The Right Side Way. We start the show this way every day with some opening thoughts. And I got to tell you, so here's the thing. We are all bearing witness right now to one of the most desperate attempts to gain votes that we have ever seen. I mean, it's certainly not unheard of, right, for politicians to make campaign promises. But when do you recall there being such a focused effort on one demographic? I mean, we're watching it play out right now as the Harris-Waltz campaign offers up the proverbial free lunch as long as black men will vote for them. It's shameful. It's gross. It's insulting the intelligence of black men everywhere. But let me back up first by telling you a personal story. True story. Years ago, as another part of my varied background, I spent 7 years on staff with Young Life Ministries. So Young Life's a great organization. I still like to say it was the best job I ever had, although this one is running close to it. Young Life is an independent evangelical ministry. It's designed to take the gospel to kids all over the world by going where they are. And one of the mottos of Young Life is Jesus Christ for every kid. So as a part of my time with Young Life, I can tell you, there were so many times I went to the cafeteria of a high school at lunch just to hang out and see my kids. They were great memories, making contact with them on their own turf, going where they go. But I'll be honest with you, the cafeteria at any high school can also be an intimidating place. I mean, kids sit with their friends, sometimes with no friends. It's natural to gravitate toward those you know, to hang out with your favorite folks. But, you know, my role was to build relationships and to model Jesus and to just be there with no strings attached. But at one point, I began to become convicted about whether or not I was really doing that. You see, I noticed the kids at Gadsden High School, where I was spending some of my time, they would self-segregate in the lunchroom. All the white kids sat in one area, all the black kids sat in another area. And there wasn't any hostility. No one made folks sit in certain places, but they were just naturally gravitating toward their comfort zones and they were sitting divided. And so was I. And I became convicted about it. And I made it a point of prayer. And then one day I went to see somebody for help. So Mrs. Donald was one of the school guidance counselors. I always popped in to say hey to she and Mrs. Mitchell. Mrs. Donald was black. And on one particular day, I stopped by her office and I asked if she had a minute. And she said, sure. And I sat down and I just up and said, Ms. Donald, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job ministering to the black kids here at Gadsden High, and I don't know how to fix it. Can you tell me what I need to do? And she just stared at me. I mean, like, stared hard for what seemed like forever. Just staring at me without blinking, like she was reading my mind or something. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, I have stepped in it. And then all of a sudden she sat back in her chair and she asked, can you be here tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning? And I stuttered out. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, good. I'm going to have 20 of the young black leaders from the student body in the cafeteria at 7:30. And you're going to tell them what you just told me. And I said, yes, ma'am. Next morning I showed up and she was not kidding. She introduced me to 20 black kids who sat and listened respectfully. And a few of them asked questions and then they went to class. But several of them started coming to Young Life Club. Several of them went to camp with us. I know that several lives were changed. I know my life was changed. But here's the thing. I didn't go in there and promise them stuff. I didn't give them anything more than my time and attention. And it felt awkward as all get out. I'll be honest with you. It was. It was uncomfortable, but it was real. I think they knew that. I did not pander to them. I just told them who I was and that I was there. And listen, I'm no saint. And I won't try to pretend that I solved all the race relations in my community. I didn't. But I have a frame of reference, though, for that awkward divide that does exist in our society. I get it. I know it's there. I have worked through it at times. And I understand, by the way, wanting to bridge that divide. But it can't be fake. It can't be contrived. It has to be real. Not based on arm twisting or falsehoods or promises of free stuff. If we're going to bridge racial divides, it will only be done by real people building real relationships. And Kamala Harris has no clue how to do that. So earlier this week, the Harris-Waltz campaign, they trotted out Barack Obama to scold young black men, telling them they need to get on board because Kamala's a woman of color, don't they know? Obama told the group he wasn't feeling the love from the brothers. Well, the insults didn't go over well. So much so that State Representative Vernon Jones, who's a black Republican from Georgia, he asked the question on social media. He said, quote, if Kamala Harris can marry a white man and then pick a white man as her vice president, then why can't black men elect a white president? It's a fair question. Sounds a lot like common sense. But as the scolding didn't take hold, they had hoped it would, the Harris-Waltz campaign decided they had to switch from the stick to the carrot. Time to pander, y'all. Time to pander. So yesterday, she went on an audio town hall with Black radio host Charlemagne the God, during which she expressed support for a study on how to address reparations. By the way, for those who don't know, when you say study, that's a word that politicians use to pander and do nothing, except look like they're trying to do something. But then came the best pander power ever mustered by a campaign. Nothing like I've ever seen before. So yesterday, the panderer-in-chief, she rolled out the most epic layer of fluff and nonsense that political machinations have ever wrought upon our nation. Kamala was proud to announce that she is creating a opportunity agenda just for Black men. Just for Black men, like she's picking the winners and losers based on skin color. Have you ever heard of anybody in modern history campaigning on racial promises like this? And look, I take note that the campaign put this out as the Kamala Harris opportunity agenda for Black men, because I guess since Tim Walz is white, his name can't be attached to it or something. But in complete disregard for all women, including Black women, Asians, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, Arabs, Persians, Eastern Mongolians, and just plain white folk, Kamala all by herself rolled out an epic 5-point pandering plan designed to lure Black men to her candidacy like some kind of creepy miscreant offering kids candy if they'll get in his van for a ride. It's gross. Pray tell, you may wonder, what is in this magic plan that turns the hearts of undecided Black men into zealots for Kamala? Well, let me tell you. First, she offers money by providing, and I quote, 1 million loans that are fully forgivable up to $20,000 for Black entrepreneurs to start a business. Well, that's not a loan. That's a bribe. There's a difference. Next, she offers education, training, and mentorship to lead to good-paying jobs for Black men to become teachers, because we all know that skin color makes you a better teacher. Third, she says she will, quote, protect cryptocurrency investments so Black men will know their money is safe. I don't even know how to address that one, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't either. Fourth, she will make sure that Black men are healthy by launching a national health initiative focused on Black men. Never mind anyone else who might be ill or prone to sickness. Time to rescue just one group and one group alone. And lastly, my personal favorite, in a nod to all things racist and weird, Kamala's going to make sure that all Black folk got weed. You heard me. The president of the United States, she claims to be, who used to put people in jail, by the way, as a DA for possession of marijuana, she's going to personally make sure that all Black folk know that if they want to smoke dope, that this is indeed the land of the free and the home of the buzz. So here's the quote. She will, quote, legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for Black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Just, like, wow. So Cheech and Chong and their gummies can step aside, because the brothers are getting a grant from Kamala to open up a pot shop. In one fell swoop, Kamala Harris devolved the status of Black men in America from being the intelligent contributors to all the American dream stands for, which they are, and relegated them down to a despicable stereotype of poor, uneducated, unhealthy dope smokers who don't know how to manage their money without the government giving them a handout and shepherding their every move. She ought to be ashamed. But she's not. That's what's crazy. She's not ashamed at all. She's like proud of it because she's desperate. So she will pander and she will insult and she will demean an entire demographic of American society because staying in power means the government's got to give you stuff. And even give just like certain people stuff while ignoring all the broader implications of that whole plan. Look, the bottom line is that racial divides, well, they're only bridged by relationships, and I mean real and genuine relationships, with a real and genuine desire to actually serve people, not false hope, threats, and pandering promises. Black folks are every bit as smart as anybody else, and they can see this for what it is. They know they're being played. Kamala's flexing her pander power, and it is backfiring like crazy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, JP, you got 110 sound bites to come out of that one, brother. But listen, I'm telling you, this whole thing it's insulting. I mean, the very idea that rather than just be relational and tell people what her policies are and how she's going to help, she is literally saying, I can help you manage your money, and I'll give you money, and oh, by the way, here's some pot. Will you vote for me? That has got to be the most asinine thing I've ever heard And then she picks one skin color to give it to. I mean, how does she even expect this to stand up or be taken serious? I don't know. But it's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.